Welcome to Business Purpose and Clarity with Petri. I'm your host. We talk about startup life, insights, practical tips, mistakes, failures, and everything between. Saying no is a super skill when you are trying to avoid fatal mistakes, big mistakes. Nobody wants to be the negative nanny, the one who is always saying no without giving anything constructive. That's not what I'm talking about here. This episode is about avoiding stuff which is really bad. When should you do that? Jeff Bezos, I think early years of Amazon, mentioned that the bigger the decision, the longer you should take to think about it. And if it's easily fixable and it's not that big decision from the company's perspective, monetarily or some other ways, the less time you should actually commit to that one. It makes sense. So if you can try out some stuff and it doesn't work, you change it, then it's not that big deal. Then by all means do it, because it's better to do stuff than not do stuff. But when it comes to the decisions which can make or break the company, you should spend more time on those things. So it's a little bit of a similar thing in a personal life. If you think about buying a car, or if you're buying a house, or some of these big things, moving to another country or changing your career, it's probably a good idea to take a little bit more time and don't just act on impulse, like where should I eat today or where should I go for a holiday and stuff like that. What are the business aspects where this is becoming really important? Whenever you're recruiting people, key personnel, taking new business partners, subcontractors, customers, suppliers, investors, in all those cases, there are more important and less important decisions you can make. Recently in the news, I read about some really famous case, and it turns out that that person has been luring billionaires and claiming stuff which is not exactly on the money. He claimed to have done stuff he actually didn't do, but he was so skillful doing those things that a lot of people, even publicly, were backing him or at least being seen doing business with him. And it took a while, but then was like, hey, that name somehow rings a bell. And when I checked my records, I found out that I had a meeting with that person. We never did actual business with that person in the company I was involved at the time, but there were some red flags, if you will, even when we were talking with that person. So we never actually went further, but it was highly recommended by one of our business partners, and we did have, well, in according a few years or months, discussions with that particular person. Now, looking at in the hindsight, it was a really good decision not to engage on business with that person. Doing a DD, checking out persons, is important if the downside is that you are scammed, or even worse, you fraud, or you're committing money and you're committing probably even your reputation online, and then the stuff doesn't work out. What are the signs that you should check out? Well, for example, I'm not saying exactly only on that case, because I have some of these cases. This is not obviously an isolated case. I've been around, so there's many, many occasions where people are not checking out. But usually when people are appealing to authority, trust me because, you know, I am who I am, or I claim to be who I am, and I'm working with these people, so it's basically like association. I'm associated with these people, so trust me. So you should just take their word for the things. When there's a lot of opaque things, is another red flag. So you don't really see. You have to, if it's not about the person, that you trust me as a person or trust my authority on the topic or whatever, because other people are trusting me. But then it's like the process or the deliverables or the results or the track record references are opaque. you don't see them. You don't really have a way of validating whether they are true. That's another red flag. Because if somebody's really talented and know what they're doing and confident in their business and experienced, they can show you stuff, they can tell you stuff in a way that they're not giving away something they want to ask the money for, but in a way that makes you comfortable that they know their stuff and they are the real deal. And then there are the regular, more like scam stuff where there's a high time pressure in a sense that you need to do the decision now, we're running out of whatever time, or you know, we are almost on at capacity or whatever. If you really pressure to do something now, you really need to commit a lot in a rush. You need to make a big down payment or whatever without being comfortable, and it sort of sounds a bit odd or weird, or so there's something in the process that's not exactly done in a proper way. If you would do it as like a regular business, you in a long term, having a credibility and your reputation on the line. One of the biggest things, funnily enough, is that it's the high cost. The services or the products rendered are really expensive in regards to the other parties in the competitors you could actually use. If you think about all these things as single items, they may not raise flags, red flags. But if you pull them together, they start to look like a bit like, in a way that it doesn't add up. There's something fishy happening here. And this is the aspect, I think, what happened in that particular case as well. There was something altogether a bit dodgy, which culminated into the decision that we didn't want to go further. Rushing, begging people just by their word, even when they are in good intentions, because there's also the case that some persons have done something really remarkable and good stuff, and there's no scamming, there's none of that involved, or you don't even think that that's the case. But past success doesn't mean that they actually are capable of doing something in the future or in your case. Because if you think about, let's say that there's a person who has been in a big organization and they have done something remarkable and it's public knowledge. So there's no question about it that they are the person who was in that position. But then you can ask that, is it that person who did the thing? Is it the organization? They had a really good team. Is it the processes? Is it the culture? Is it the combination of all those things which actually made it to happen? Because the higher the person is in the organization, they usually tend to lead stuff and manage and not exactly do the stuff. So they don't have the practical knowledge. And if you're a startup, you need the practical skills to actually get the stuff done. You just don't need anyone who just says something and tells that, you know, please do that, this or that. Because you need those doers, and it might be that the person whom you wishing that they can do that is not actually the person who can actually manage to do that, but they, because of their reputation, because of their past success, they are in a position where they can claim quite a lot of money for the services they do, but then your expectations are high, but it might turn out that the results, the deliverables are not on the money what you expected. But there you are. They delivered. They did. And there's no fraud in a way. There's only a slight disappointment that you have paid a lot of money for things which are not exactly what you expected them to be. And this actually applies also to the startup situation really heavily, in a sense that if you're doing leading edge stuff, it means that you need to be creative. You're doing something which hasn't been done before. And the persons you are looking now to help you with the case, are they creators? Those who can do stuff from scratch, like Steve Jobs built Apple together, obviously, with other founders, but he builds stuff versus somebody who is hired to maintain stuff, just keep the processes running. The person who is not building the stuff in the first place, the person who is not doing the processes from scratch, but just keeping them running, that's a different skill set. And don't make that mistake that you looking for somebody to build stuff, but you actually getting someone who is really good at maintaining and operationally keeping stuff and even improving something which has already been made, because that's a completely different skill set. And this is often the case when you're looking for people from big corporates. They're really good at talking to people, they have people management skills, but can they build? Can they do stuff? That's something for you to figure out. So, saying no is a super skill when you want to avoid fatal mistakes.